All right, let us pray. Father, we once again, we come thanking you, Father, for this grand opportunity. Father, and we lift up our apostle and our first royal family this afternoon, Heavenly Father. We pray now that the Holy Spirit would just move through this room, say things we never heard, do things we never seen before. Father, we thank you right now that the Spirit breathes on this word because we understand the letter without the Spirit is dead, Father. So we pray now, Father, that the Holy Spirit begins to just move through this class, move on our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before I begin, our test, your first exam is going to be up next week. Go over chapters 1, 2, and 3 and the notes that we have so far in class. It's not going to be hard. Those are second year students. We know how it go. This year, y'all guys have it a little differently. It's online, so you don't have to come out here. I'm going to do an example right quick because I had a lot of emails on last week. Listen to this statement. I'm going to ask you a question. There's pink lemonade in a clear glass. All right? Question, true or false? In the clear glass, there's pink lemonade. True or false? True or false? I'm going to say true. Ask again. Nope. How many say true? How many say false? All right. This is what I had last week with a lot of online students. First of all, we're not here to try to trick anybody at all. But one of the key things we've learned, especially with online students, is we have to do certain things to make sure people are watching the class and doing it correctly. Because we've had in the past where people get online, if you're not careful, honestly, everybody's not committed. You know, we're all ministers and in the school, but sometimes people get off in the flesh, you understand? So what happens is sometimes we'll change a word or two to change the question. But you got to remember, anytime you take a quiz or a test, we're only dealing with what I said or what the book said. If the question doesn't equate to what I said the book said, then the question has to be false. Right. See, the statement I made was, there's pink lemonade in a clear glass. That's what I said. I said nothing about a clear glass and pink lemonade. Now, it sounds the same, but that's not what I said. So what happens when we go with our quiz and test, be very careful, listen to the wording, make it because one word would change the entire statement and make it true or false. All right, so online students, you understand me now. All right, because in the past, you know, we've had meditation scriptures, and a lot of people try to get ahead of you, they try to read the book. And let's say chapter 1 deals with, you see John, the first couple of John 8. So you may ask a question. What was the meditation scripture for tonight? Now, they didn't watch the video and open the book, and you put John, Matthew, Luke, Psalms. Well, I know it's not Matthew, Luke, so it got to be John. Well, that's wrong because that night you might not have given the meditation scripture at all. So you know they're not watching the video. That's why we do what we do. All right? So we got that cleared up. We're not here to fail anybody. That's not what the apostle has assigned me to do. It's to make sure that you're paying attention to everything that we're doing in all the classes, all right? Amen. Now, let's pick up where we left off on last week. We dealt with the purpose of prayer. We may get off into the first part of chapter 3. And I ended with, the Lord was extremely angry with Aaron, and he said to Moses, let me alone that I may destroy them. And it says that undoubtedly, Moses prayed and kept praying. What did Moses do? And kept praying. Go to Luke 8 for me. I want you to see something. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Because Moses did something here when it comes to praying. He did something that we're going to always have to remember when it comes to prayer. And I think this is a good scripture to help us understand something. In Luke 8, verse 22. Now, the Bible said Moses prayed, and he kept what? Praying. Kept praying for 40 days and 40 nights. He kept praying. Luke 8:22 says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go to the other side. Now, what did Jesus say? Let's go to the other side. What did he say? Simple. Let us go to the other side. Verse 23, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm and a wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him up saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and it ceased, and there was a calm. Now, I said that to say this, because when it comes to prayer, we look at the scripture here, Moses prayed, and he did what? Kept praying. I want to use the scripture because when God has spoken to you and the Holy Spirit has sealed something in your heart, you've got to keep praying no matter how it looks. Watch it. Say, no matter how it looks, this is what the Holy Ghost gave to me. No matter how it looks, hold on to what God has said. See, you got to keep praying. Despite if the child hasn't changed yet, keep praying. The job hasn't came yet, keep praying. Your body, you still got symptoms. The body hasn't changed yet. Keep praying. You've got to keep praying because based off of God's word, I know it got to happen.
Amen.
So despite what my situation, a pastor says it like this, a pastor says it like this. He did a teaching a while back on life and life situations.
Yes, sir.
They're not the same thing.
Yeah, that's right.
See, just because I'm in life, but I'm dealing with a life situation don't mean that's my life.
Yes,
so
right.
What I have to do is keep on praying.
Yes.
Because I know this is just a life situation and not my life. So keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying and just keep on praying. I'm going to keep saying it, just keep on praying till something happens.
Glory to God.
Man.
Yes, sir.
The scripture, Deuteronomy 9 and 18 and 20 says, and I fell down before the Lord. As at the first 40 days and 40 nights, I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins, which you sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of their anger and hot displeasure, wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. Now watch what he said. But the Lord hearkened to me at the time also, and the Lord was very angry with Aaron to destroy him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. We began to talk about last week how prayer is so powerful. Prayer is the only weapon that can change the mind of God. He prayed and he changed the whole situation. Then we drop down here. It says the message of God to Hezekiah was a warning of death, as can be seen in the passage from Isaiah. Now watch what he says here. He said, thus said the Lord, set down house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and he prayed. There we go again. What's the first thing he did? He prayed unto the Lord and said, now watch what he said. Remember me now, O Lord. I like that. He said, remember me now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. Listen to this statement. When you pray, you must put God in remembrance of his word. The question is his word in you enough? Can you stand before the Lord and petition God and ask God the question, Lord, do you remember me? Glory to God. I'm not talking about do you remember me when I'm in a time of need, but because I stay in your presence so much that now when I begin to talk, Lord, do you know who I am?
Yes.
Lord, Lord, this is Brian. I know you. Lord, this is Carl. I know you, Carlton. Can the Lord say, I remember you? See, we're going to get to a scripture later on. I'm ahead of myself. There's a scripture that talks about, he said, you're going to get to God's presence. He said, leave from my presence. I know you not. See, it's a horrible place to be that when you pray that your words aren't heard from God. And when you get in his presence, he said, I don't know you.
Wow.
Because you haven't been in my presence enough for me to recognize who you are.
Wow.
Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying, go. And he said to Isaiah, thus the Lord God of David, thy father, I've heard thy prayer and I've seen thy tears. Behold, I've added you to the days of 15 years. Here we see again an example of God changing his mind because a person decided to pray the word of God. Man, I love it. Watch this. All these people of God knew how to pray and how to prevail in prayer. Their faith in prayer was no passing attitude that changed with the wind or with their own feelings and circumstances. Watch this statement. They were confident that God always heard and answered, that his ear was always open to the cry of his children, and that the power to do what he asked of him was equal to his willingness. This is the statement the Holy Ghost gave me based off of what the apostle had been teaching. When he first began to teach on the apostolic anointing, apostolic strategy. The, one of the key words he always said was that the apostle or the apostolic anointing was from heaven to earth. It's a heaven to earth government. Watch what he say here. He said, their faith and prayer was no past attitude that changed with the wind of their own feelings and circumstances. They were confident that God always heard and answered, that his ear was always open. Listen to what the Lord told me. God Almighty. Pastor Reverend Montrell, he dealt with the apostolic government, your first class. I sat in on Pastor Walker's class. He began to talk about the apostolic government and leadership. But this is what the Holy Ghost gave me with this scripture. The apostolic anointing deals with what kind of heaven? Open heaven. When we learn how to pray and pray correctly, because those who are connected properly to the apostolic government, not only do you have an open heaven, but the heaven is, not only is the heaven open, but you have an open ear with God. Wow. You got to see this. See, now when the heavens are open, his ear is open. If heaven is closed, his ear is closed. But when we have an open heaven, he said an open heaven always has an open ear when we pray correctly. Wow. So that means if I'm operating properly, I can even pray with more intensity, with more reverence. I can just go off. Because I know God, he got to hear me because I got to open heaven. And because I'm a righteous man and woman of God, when I pray, I know what I'm praying is going directly into his ears. Yes. Man, come on now. Y'all got to see that. It's like when you're in the movies or something and you whisper to somebody and say, psst, pack some of that popcorn. You on earth, and when you're praying, that prayer that you with is going right into God's ear. God, this me, Rod. What's up, Rod? My ears open. What you want to tell me? Boy, have mercy, Jesus. Listen, I'm going to set you up with this one. Go to Psalm 115, because I need to go to Psalm 115 in order to validate the statement we're about to read in the book. Because when you're a child of God, you have to know who you are. Amen. You have to know your rights. And one of the key things I've learned under the apostle is when you start praying, when you start doing certain things, you have to know your rights, and it becomes more effective. If you don't know your rights, you can get the wool pulled over your eye. See, I have a background in law enforcement. If I come in here and tell Brother Rod, you on the arrest for wearing black shoes, he can look at me kind of funny because he knows that's not a what? That's not a law. But if you don't know it's not a law, guess what you're going to do? He's going to allow me to handcuff him and do whatever I want to do with him. See, if we don't understand our rights as a child, righteous man and woman of God, and pray, every time we pray, we don't understand that, we handcuff our prayers. And the enemy now will do what he wants to do to us, discourage us, cause oppression, depression, and all that foolishness. Well, anyway, I ain't dealing with that. Look. Everything was possible to men and women who knew how to pray. What was possible?
Everything.
I'm going to read this out of the book. Take note of this statement once again. Everything was possible to the men and women who knew how to pray. You might see that again. Everything. All right. Prayer indeed opened a limited storehouse, and God's hand withheld nothing. Now watch this here. Prayer introduced those who practiced it into a world of privilege and brought the strength and wealth of heaven down to aid a finite man. Wow. What rich and wonderful power that we had who had learned the secret of this virtuous approach to God. He says here, prayer introduced the practice into the world of privilege, brought the strength and wealth of heaven down to aid of the a finite man. I told you to go to Psalm 115, right?
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 16. No, I'll go ahead, 15. Psalm 115, 15. Ye are what?
Blessed.
Of the Lord which made the heaven and what?
Earth.
Now watch the next statement. The heaven. The what?
The heaven.
Even the heavens are the who? But the earth he has given to who? When you pray, your prayers go into heaven. But God say, but guess what? When I hit in prayer, I'm going to send them back to you so you can operate on earth because the earth belongs to you. Let's back it up with scripture. Let it be done in heaven. Whatever happened in heaven, God wanted to take place on
earth.
The earth belongs to the heavens belong to God, but the earth belongs to who? Us. But we have to learn how to pray and pray properly to get stuff out of heaven to the earth so we can be efficient while we're here.
Amen. Amen.
That's why he said in the statement here, he said prayer introduced those who practice into a world of privilege and brought the strength and wealth of heaven down to aid the man. See, we got somebody say help. You gotta have help. You gotta have help. You can't do it by yourself. But you gotta learn how to pray. And then he goes on to say, and yet, as strange as it seems, when we contemplate the wonders of which God's people had been witnesses, they become slack in prayer. In other words, he say, with all these scriptures, we see how those who weren't even under the covenant we were under, because the Bible says we're under a better covenant, right? How they changed the mind and heart of God. And we see this proof. And yet we still slack to pray. And you got more power. You got the blood.
Yes.
You got the cross.
Yes.
You got his word.
Yes.
But you still won't pray. And all they had was, he talked about it in his class, Pastor Walker, in his class. He said they had to, and God said to them. See, we can hear God's voice, read his word, and talk to him all at the same time, plead the blood and everything else. And they're like, I don't feel bad now. See, he said, the mighty hold upon God, which was had so often struck awe and terror in the hearts of their enemies, lost his grip. The people backslidden and what's that word? Yeah, that word.
Apostate.
Yeah, apostate. Had gone off from their praying if the bulk of them had ever truly prayed. The Pharisees' cold and lifeless praying was submitted for any genuine approach to God because of their former method of praying. The whole of their worship became a parody of his real purpose. In other words, they weren't praying for real. See, and this is why we got to be careful in the body of Christ because there's so much personality in the pulpit now. See, people don't follow anointings. They follow personalities. Because I can prove it here at Word of Life, if people are following the anointing, we would have to have four services a Sunday here.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Glad you said hallelujah. If they are following anointing. But because the apostle don't yield to man.
That's right.
He don't bow down. He going to do what God said. You're not going to have too many followers. But you get a person who has a personality. Who want to greet and kiss you on the cheek and talk to you after this all the time. Because he got to keep the chairs filled and the money coming. You know.
Right.
He can't hear from the Holy Ghost. So what happens is, listen to me. Why, let me tell you why personality is so dangerous. Personality is dangerous because personality will keep you from maturing.
Wow.
See,
wow.
Because what happens is, we've learned over the past year or two that what happens with personality, you're really operating from the soul. And what the soul will try to do is imitate the spirit. So when you catch a preacher with a personality and begins to use his personality or his charisma in his preaching. Hallelujah. And you start feeling good, like, yeah, all right, I can feel it. Yeah, yeah. And you don't realize all he's doing is drawing you in.
That's right.
He ain't saying nothing because if you're not careful, you'd be something. He'd be talking about, hallelujah, knick, knack, patterwhack, give it all. You're like, yeah, yeah. Anything will sound good to you because it's from a personality standpoint. And then what happens, you think it's the spirit, But it's not the spirit, because the soul is trying to imitate the spirit. And because when the true spirit hit, you don't know the difference, because you say all he doing is talking. So when pastor, when the apostle telling you, turn your Bibles here, turn your Bibles there. See, write this down. Pay attention. Bring your notebook. You're like, man, that's all you going to do? What you mean that's all? Boy, did you hear what he said? So it's like a, see, it's like a drug. I don't know why I'm right there. It's, that's like, see, personality is like a drug. So what happens is, just like cocaine on the brain, what happens, they'll tell you, they're always trying to do more because they're trying to get back to that first high. So this is what happens in the church. So what happens is, when a true anointing hits, you won't move. You can't feel it. You don't understand it. So you'll chew your gum or you'll write stuff or play Candy Crush on your phone while the preaching. Yeah, I know. I see it on stage. I see a lot of stuff. So what happened? Holly, I ain't say nobody name. I ain't say nothing. So what happens is, now, if you just sit on that word, you don't move. You just sitting there. But if somebody, that man of God, oh yeah, somebody, I forget where he at, I don't know where, he played piano. And he, if he don't say, that catch your attention. Because now, it's like that first high. I recognize that. So what that preacher would do, what he watch what he does. If you ain't, if he trying to teach you and you ain't moving, he's like a drug to him. So then people ain't saying nothing. Well, let me rush to my clothes. And then you like, yeah. Y'all, come on, y'all telling the truth, man. Let me hurry, you know. And then it catches your attention at Hammond B3, like, give me F flat. And we ready to go, boy. And we think, and then after service, over, you say, what did Red preach about? I don't know. But it sure was good. It was good to your soul. We talking about prayer. How we got on that? Oh, personality. Personality would keep you from maturing. You heard the other man of God a couple weeks ago. He said, we've become so much of, Lord Jesus. We're so much entertainers so much now that we think we're actors. You heard the apostle talk about that. Boy, that blessed me, boy. I mean, could you see an apostle talking about going on somebody's comedy show? Talking about doing a commercial for anything? Hi, I'm Dr. Thompson. Drink Coca-Cola. No, but see, that comes from an entertaining personality. Yeah. You entertain so much, now you think you are acting. You want to hang in Hollywood now. Yep. When we supposed to be cussing Hollywood. You know what I'm saying, not cussing, but you know, bringing the word of God. Yeah. All that food. Back to prayer. The Pharisees' cold and lifeless praying was submitted, substituted for genuine approach to God, because their former method of praying, the whole of their worship became a parody for its real purpose. All right. In other words, they also begin to pray to the point where we use the scripture in prayer, that they begin to pray the spirit, the letter without the spirit is dead. So that's what happens a lot of time. We've grown up in places where we heard people praying a certain way and saying certain words, and we thought that was prayer, but that was just a letter. The spirit was nowhere on the prayer. It felt good. It sounded good. But it didn't get into the ear of God. In let's see. What we had, Lord? They had no survivors, none to imitate their devotion to God. None preserve the role of the elect. It is our job. It is our duty. We have to teach our children and grandchildren on how to pray. See, because they didn't teach them, it wasn't passed on. There were no survivors. No one to imitate. No one to carry that thing. Oh, see, I told you about prayer. When we leave here, our prayers are still going to be carrying on. Right. Our children, still going to be praying off the prayers that you started. Yes, you might have been the first one in your family to understand prayer. You go, I teach my little girl every night, talk to God before you go to bed. I ask her, what you going to talk about? Be good at school. I say, hey, say you be good at school. Just talk to him. I don't care what he takes. Just talk to him. You understand? Because it has to start. And then once they begin to develop that relationship, and when she get older, and she got to worry about no slick talking fella like I was. Hallelujah. In vain had the decree. Lord Jesus. Jesus. In vain had the decree established the divine order, divine call. He said, ask of me. From their earnest and fruitful crying to God, the Israelites turned their faces to pagan gods and cried in vain for the answers that would never come. See, I told you. See, when you're not praying right, you might as well save your bread and do something else. Because they never get to the ear of God until you get some things right. You with me? Thus they sank into that godless and pitiful state in which they lost their purpose in life because the link of their eternal had been broken. It's like a pipe. When you are connected properly, when you pray like a water hose, when you plug up and you turn that water, that water hose may be all crooked, but when that water begin to flow, that water begin to just flow. You understand? And you wash your car, so you skip the little thing, water just come on out. There's a flow going. But when you are not connected properly, when you're not praying properly, when you're not seeking God properly, you cut that hose and whatever God's trying to get to you just flowing out, it'll never reach. You ain't getting to it and it ain't getting to you. Wow. It's just hitting the ground. It's vain. It's pointless. Ain't no God can't connect to you and you can't connect to God because the connection now is broken. All right. Prayer is no laggard's work. You can't be slothful in prayer. When all the rich spice graces from the body of prayer have been blended and refined and intermixed by labor and beating, the fire is needed to unloose the incense to make its fragrance rise to the throne of God. Remember we talked last week, I told you about that fire, how that fire brings all impurities to the top. You skim it, and now it becomes pure. All right? The spirit of life of the incense is created by that fire that consumed. Without this fire, prayer has no spirit. Good God Almighty. I like this statement. I want to get to this statement. But Dr. A.J. Gordon, I like this statement. He said, that is the habit that drives prayer right into the mortar that holds building stones together. He said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, said Dr. J. Gordon, but you can't do more than pray until you've prayed. Hallelujah. See, after you pray, there's still some things you got to do. Faith, holding on, being persistent. He say, but you still you can't do nothing until you pray. A lot of times we try to move and haven't prayed. And then when the situation happens now we want to pray and have God to try to change the situation. Wow. Well, you didn't ask me in the first place. You know, Lord, I'm going to go there, Lord. You know, Lord, boy, I feel good right now. He said, Lord, my biological clock is ticking. I'm ready for me a husband. And the man of God said, baby, not him. Okay. Well, Pastor, I love him. All right, go ahead. Go ahead on. Knock yourself out. Then 2-3 months later, Lord, I don't want no more, Lord. Pastor, he's just crazy. Pastor, he's crazy, Pastor. I didn't know he was that crazy, Pastor. Now you want to pray. Lord, take him, Jesus. Lord, say, no. No. You wanted him. Now he's yours. See, now you want to pray him out your life. But, come on now. Come on. Now you want to pray him out your life when you should have prayed to ask God what's he supposed to be in your life. See, you wouldn't pray for God to ask him what she to be. See, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. See, a lot of times we don't want to ask God because we already know the answer. But then when we don't get the answer we thought we should have, now we want to pray and try to get him to change it. God said, no. See, consequence.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can make the decision, but you can't choose the consequences. That's why I teach my little girl. I'm teaching her now. You can choose. Look, I say no sweets. You get sweets once a day. All them cookies, because you go crazy. Them cookies and ice creams, you go bounce a wall. I say, look, if you eat a snack ice cream after school. You don't get ice cream after dinner. Now, it's up to you. I ain't telling you when to do it. But she had that first time, I think, and then it's late, and everybody else eating ice cream. She had her early, she had a look, and it hurt me. Now, I know how God feel, though, boy, as a father. It hurt me. You said, yeah, sit there. Dad, I can have my ice cream? Mm-mm. No, but I'm sorry. Dad can't get it. You had yours earlier. And she had a look. I said, oh, Lord. You can't have none, though. You can't have none. So now she understands. You want some ice cream? No, I'm waiting. I'm waiting 8 o'clock. We're at 8 o'clock. He asked me every 15 minutes. 8 o'clock yet? 8 o'clock yet? But see, the point is consequence. So the key from dealing with the consequence we don't want to experience, what should we do? Pray. Lord, is this the right one? Is this the right job? Is this the right man? This the right woman? This the right ministry? This the right calling? Should I be here? Should I not be here? Lord, you show me. All right. Write this statement down. If you ever want to see or hear a great woman of God, find one that prays. See, I know for a fact. See, people think you can buy a suit like the apostle. Try to walk, talk like the apostle, to think that's how you're going to get the anointing. But what most people don't realize, when the apostle, every time he touches the podium, every time he preaches, every time he ministers, that's not something that just happens. And see, God's not a respect to prayer. It's just not for him, but it's for anybody who sits and stays in the presence of God in prayer. I know for a fact the apostle is a prayer. I don't know where he is right now, but I guarantee you he's somewhere praying. I'm trying to pump it. I'm just telling y'all it's God's truth. If you pass by his house in the morning, you're going to see him praying. If you catch him at this church walking around, you're going to see him praying. If his sons are driving him, I guarantee you he's going to be reading or praying. If he's flying, he's probably reading or praying. All the way till he gets up to the podium, he's reading and praying. See, it don't just happen because, God just liked me so much. No, I'm in the presence of God, and God willing to use me. So my prayers are effective now. Y'all see that? Hallelujah. Now, chapter 3. Am I in chapter 3 or did I miss it? Yeah, I'm going to chapter 3. All right. In prayer, man's access to God opens everything and makes his impoverishment his will. Man is given the privilege to command God. Ooh, Lord, did you hear that? Wow. You mean God, I can tell God exactly what I want and tell him he's going to do it? Wow. Sacrilegious. No, that's his word. Who has the authority and power in accordance with the demands of God's earthly kingdom? Look at Psalms 2, 8 through 9. Ask of me. What did he say, do?
Ask of me.
Beg. Please. Just ask. Now, if you ask me, what did he say he's going to do? I shall give you the heathen for thy inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Lord said, all you got to do is ask me. Prayer, oh Lord Jesus. Heaven, with all it has, is under obligation to carry out the ultimate, finally, and the glorious purposes of God. I told you, heaven is open. We're under an open heaven. And because we're under open heaven, we have an open ear with God. And all we got to do now is ask him and petition God, command him, say, because I am a righteous man and woman of God, because I am covered by the blood of Jesus, because I am saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost, because I am your child, God, I need this done right now for my family.
That's right.
But most people can't do that because they have not aligned their lives like that yet. See, there's a scripture. Psalm, what is it? Psalm, he said, search me, O Lord.
139.
Yeah. Let's look at it. I think that's good for right now. Because Sometime before you start praying, you might have to pray then. Yeah. See, the pastor said it earlier. He said, sometimes you so caught up, talking about prophesying, talking about discerning spirits. He said, and he's talking about discerning spirits. Hey, Lord, I see something wrong with you. What? Man, what you talking? 139 what?
23.
Look at Psalm, look at Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Say, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thought. See if there be any way in me. And lead me in a way. In other words, Lord, if my prayers aren't being answered, if it's something I'm doing, show it to me first.
That's right.
Clean me up. See, because once I get cleaned up, now I'm in your presence. Now you can hear my prayer.
Yes.
Sometimes it's not that God will answer your prayer. Sometimes it's something we got to get right.
Yes.
Sometimes it's somebody you need to forgive.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. If something may not just be quite right, it don't mean you're a bad person. You just got to get it right.
Yes, sir.
See, oh, Lord, I'm going to go there. See, no, if married folk, see, you can't, men, you just can't, Lord, if you didn't had it out, don't you think you coming home that night, man? You got to get it right first.
Yes.
My second year student know I got a test I use, a toe test. Yeah. I'm saying, you know how you, let's be honest, you didn't had it out, you didn't had a Holy Ghost disagreement. And as a man, we didn't say, we had to say it's over with. You know, it's over. I just said what I had to say. But you really ain't no way you find out. So you do that toe test with married folk. So you lay in the bed, you take that toe, and you pull their leg, they move their leg. Search me, oh Lord. It was anything in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me go. We ain't gonna make it, Lord Jesus. Y'all ain't right. Let me quote with this here. More praying and better praying is the key to the whole matter. The more time we spend in prayer, the more preparation we make to meet God.
Amen.
Remember that statement. The more time we spend in prayer, the more preparation we make to meet God. Listen, I'm going to close with that. I'm going to close with this. I'll give you an example about preparation. See, in prayer, Lord Jesus. The more we pray and the more preparation we make to meet God, we have to pray and prepare to meet God. Pray and prepare. See, when you pray, you prepare yourself to meet God. Get in His presence. The best example I can give to you, I like using examples of life. And the best example I can give to you about praying more and preparation. See, when I was in the world, I don't know if some of y'all might have did the same thing. Let's say you got this hot date on Saturday night. On Thursday, you got to go buy you some new slacks, some new shoes, nice shirt. Back in the day, it was decor and cool water. All right. You had to buy it Thursday so you can put in the clean for Friday and have it out for Saturday. All right. I know what I'm talking about now. All right. So Saturday, you get your clothes out the cleaners. All right? You take the car around 10, 11 o'clock, get it washed up. You make a preparation. You go in the barbershop, get a fresh haircut, get you something to eat. By 2 o'clock, you lay down because you want to take a good nap. You want to be full of energy. All right? You won't eat too much because, you know, you got to go out to eat. All right? You get up, and you put your music on after you took your shower and you're doing your hair. You got your music when you walk around looking in the mirror. Happy feelings in the air. Yeah. You spread. I'm telling you, you're preparing. I'm telling you, man. Y'all know I ain't lying. You're preparing, man. You get in the car. You check yourself out in the mirror. You're looking good. You get in the car. And you pick your date up. And then you get her in the car. And you're right. See, you're preparing. Now you got the music. You're trying to set. So now you put the CD in. And you talk, hey, how was your day? It was good. In the background, come on and go with me. So you're trying to get it. You know, you got to get it going. You're trying to set the mood. My point I'm trying to get to you is, if we can take time and prepare ourselves to get in the presence of a person, how much more time, how much more prayer can we take to get in the presence of the Most High God, who can change our life, change our children, change our father? Man, come on up in here. And I'm out of time. Online, love y'all. Test Tuesday.